We have been at prevention. We always start at prevention. In the class, I will not move on until everybody has prevention. Because if you get prevention, by the time we get to discipline, most of the problems you're dealing with are gone. Right? Am I lying? Brads? Yeah. No, it's, yeah. By the time we get, people come in with a list, and by the time we get to the last session, they're like, well, you know what? Right? Unless there's some really big extenuating issues. Okay? So, normally I go prevention, and then we do listening, communication, anger and stress management, how to understand why kids are misbehaving, is it unintentional or on purpose? There's a whole big chunk in there, and then we get to discipline. And I am going to do something very risky that I normally don't do, and that is I am going to jump from prevention to discipline. And I'm only going to do it with this one tool. Because in situations like what we just heard, what people will often do is just stay stuck at this level. You can actually use choices from prevention through redirection up to discipline. But you use them in slightly different way. So let me illustrate. First, before we do that, we've got to cover a little bit of basics around discipline. So we're kind of jumping all the way up to the attic. What do you keep in your attic? Stuff you don't use very often. It's not junk, right? Why do you keep it? Because you just might need it someday. Why isn't it down in your house? Because you really don't need it all the time. That's why discipline's in the attic. Okay? The biggest, the most common experience that I get is that when parents will ask me a question, they want to know how to discipline it. And my experience, when I hear the story of what they're doing, there was something way in the beginning. If they made a slightly different choice, they would have never gotten to the point of discipline in the first place. So, and it's that process. That's why I spend time on prevention. It's about half the class. Now you would think, oh, there's so much behavior, so many things that we gotta cover, right? But there's not. How many different misbehaviors are there?
Countless.
Countless misbehaviors. Grads, how many types of misbehavior are there?
Four
types of on purpose plus unintentional. There's only five types of misbehavior. How many different problems aside from misbehavior are there? How many different problems could you encounter in 18 years with just one child? Countless, right? Every one of those individual situations will fit within one of six problem types. Now, do you feel ready and prepared to handle any situation that comes around in parenting?
No.
No. Do you think you can learn how to solve six problems?
Yes.
Do you think you can learn how to identify five types of misbehavior and use five tools and just match them up? Think you could do that? It is actually doable. Does parenting ever seem overwhelming? Three questions, five steps. Six types of problems. If you add in the five types of misbehavior, it's nine. Okay, a little bit bigger of a number. Is nine still doable? Yeah. So, to go from prevention up to discipline with just this one tool, let's cover a couple of basics about discipline. Because in the parents' tool shop, there are certain times where we gotta stop and we gotta say, wait a minute, we gotta establish common definitions. Because when we're out there in the world, you can have a conversation and people might have a different meaning, and then you think you're agreeing, but you're really not, or else you get into an argument. Because, well, and actually I can relate to this. My husband and I, when we first met, of course he had a completely different upbringing than I did, and I had certain definitions. And we would have conversations. I'll never forget. We drove up to Cleveland one time. How long the trip was that? 4 or 5 hours? And we started talking about religion and this and that, and I'm hearing what he's saying and I'm going, good Lord, I am not going to marry this guy. He doesn't agree at all with what's important to me, but I was stuck in the car with this guy for 4 to 5 hours. So we dug in and it was like, well, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? And what we realized was once we established a common definition, we actually agreed on everything. We were just using different words to say it. So there's a couple of definitions, and also when it comes to discipline, when we cross the line. In parenting, in balance zone, we discipline. And discipline is holding children accountable and helping them learn from their mistakes. If we add suffering to it, we actually cross the line. As soon as we add suffering, it turns it into punishment. If that punishment causes harm, it can be considered abuse. So here's the clear lines. Over here, in permissive, it's just generally not disciplining enough or not disciplining at all. Okay? So, and actually, I think that was one of the questions somebody submitted, like, how do I know when I'm crossing the line, or how do I know when it's discipline versus punishment? So that's one thing. So let's define what discipline is. Discipline teaches from mistakes. Punishment focuses on imposing suffering for mistakes. It can be very mild from a guilt trip. You're a bad kid for doing that. That'd be very mild, but technically that would be punishment. Obviously, anything that imposes physical suffering would be over in the category of punishment. Not that it doesn't stop kids from doing what you don't want them to do, but they're really not learning from the mistake. They're just paying for the mistake. There isn't always, yeah, they learn not to do it. They don't do it so that they don't experience the suffering, which is different than not doing it because I understand why it's wrong. I understand what to do instead, and I'm now self-disciplined in making choices. So the overall lesson that we want children to learn is that they have behavior choices. Whatever they choose, they will experience the outcome. So if we can help them understand the outcomes of their choices, if you choose this, if you choose to play on the sidewalk, you'll stay safe. If you choose to play in the street, you could get hit by a car. Okay? So we help them understand the outcomes of their choices. For discipline, in order to be disciplined, it needs to fit 4 R's. This is actually from Jane Nelson's 4 R's of consequences. And she gave me permission to tweak that for discipline in general. She's the author of Positive Discipline. For discipline to be effective, it needs to be logically related to what they do. In parents of teens, every time a child does something wrong, parents of teens, what's the most common thing they do? That's it, you're grounded, no matter what it is, right? Or middle age, school age. If you do something I don't like or you misbehave, I'm going to take away your games, your video games, right? Okay? Even if it has nothing to do with it, younger children, young kids, no matter what they do, parents will use one tool. What is it?
Time out.
Time out. How well does that work? Doesn't. You know why? It's not a discipline tool. That's the number one reason it doesn't work. Number two, there's tons of discipline tools you can use instead. It's actually a keep your cool tool, so it's only logically related when children have lost control. And there's a very specific way that you can do it that incorporates these 4 R's plus actually what we learned in the Keep Your Cool Tool set, which is the anger and stress management, teaching kids how to regain control. So it has to be logically related. If it doesn't make sense to kids, are they going to learn from it?
No.
So it has to make logical sense. It needs to be respectful. So the discipline itself needs to be respectful. So anything that would impose suffering, would that be respectful? No. No, it would be punishment. Not that it would work. But technically, it's not discipline. So the discipline itself needs to be respectful, plus the way it's presented. So I could choose a very effective discipline, but if I yell and scream in the way that I present it, is that respectful? Well, how well would you learn if I yelled and screamed at you? Right? You wouldn't be too open to learning from me, right? This whole thing about suffering is there is a belief, and it's a very common belief, that in order for someone to learn, they have to suffer, right? Our whole penal system is based on this, right? If somebody does something wrong, they have to suffer or they won't learn. So if that were true, imagine that when you came in tonight, that as you sat down, that chains whipped around your legs and arms and you were chained to your chair. Now, how would you feel about me? You wouldn't like me too much, would you? Would you feel respect for me? No. The whole time I'm trying to teach you, what are you really going to be thinking about? The lesson or what?
The chains.
The chains. And if you were able to get out, where would you go?
Out
that door. And would you come back? No. So does suffering help with learning or does it interfere? It actually interferes with learning. So there are ways that children can learn without having to suffer, and that's where respectful comes in. Reasonable has to do with two things. One thing of reasonable has to do with the time. A lot of times discipline lasts so long that if kids aren't thinking about the lesson anymore, if you had to stay chained to your chair for a full 6-hour class, how long would you be focusing on the lesson? 15 minutes maybe, tops, in little bits and pieces, right? Okay? So reasonable has to a time. You want it to be long enough that they get it, that they understand the lesson, but not so long that it shifts the whole focus to who is doing this to me and why is it lasting so long. Now they're just kind of focused on who the power person is, and they're not really thinking about the lesson. It actually shifts the 4 new R's. I don't have the PowerPoint up here. I will say what they are for those of you that are taking notes. When it turns to punishment, punishment actually brings on 4 new R's. Resentment. Who is doing this? I can't believe they're doing this to me. Rebellion. As soon as I get away from here, right, I'm going to get away from here. Revenge. Oh, yeah, you did that to me. You just wait. Just wait, Jody, until you go out to your car. You can't be chained in that chair. Just wait. And retreat, which is sneaking to get away around it. Oh, well, then I'll just, if that's going to happen, then I'll just sneak and get away with it. Revenge, rebellion, resentment, retreat. The other piece of reasonable has to do with the extent. So, what's your name?
Steve.
So let's say that Steve was supposed to wash the dishes, and I go to check, and I pull out a dirty dish. Now, unreasonable, I make Steve do what?
All the dishes.
Wash all the dishes. And what is Steve thinking about as he's washing a clean dish?
This is stupid.
This is so stupid. I can't believe she made me do that. Resentment. Rebellion. She's not looking.
I'm just gonna break
it. Revenge. Break a dish. Right? She's not looking. I'll just slip a couple of these back in that I know are already clean. Right? Okay? So you want it to be reasonable both in extent. Oh, so reasonable would be what? He washes what? The dirty dish. Yeah, whatever dishes he missed, he does those. Whenever possible, you want it to be revealed. So that children know, if you do blank, this is what will happen. Have you ever said to someone, especially kids, well, that's it, you did this, so now this is going to happen. Then they go, I didn't know that was going to happen. If I'd known that was going to happen, I wouldn't have done it. Have you ever been in that situation yourself? Right? Yeah. So whenever possible, it's helpful if it's revealed. The way you reveal it, I'm going to go to the next slide on your handout. What I want you to do is I want you to put a great big star next to this slide. Circle it, star it, put Yahoo, remember this. There's 3 stages to how you discipline. The first is what you do before you ever have the need to discipline. You tell kids what you want them to do. You offer choices within limits, and you explain to them their behavior choices. I already gave an example of this. You can ride your bike on the sidewalk and stay safe. If you were to ride your bike in the street, you could get hit by a car. This is the value. This is the reason. This is your sharp RV. If kids don't understand why, they're only going to do it or not do it because of whatever's going to happen to them, not because they understand the value. Right? You want your kids to stay on the sidewalk whether you're there or not, right? So they've got to integrate that if they're going to be self-disciplined. So this is real critical. They've got to understand why it is that you want them to do what you want them to do. Then if the situation arises that you need to discipline, the way that you present it, actually I'm going to block this out just a second. Okay? So tell me if I'm lying, right? If a child were to ride the bike in the street, most parents would say, if you ride your bike in the street, I'm going to take your bike away, correct? Right? Isn't that what most parents would say? Okay. So, you ride your bike in the street, I take your bike away. Now, who are you mad at? Me, because I took your bike away. And what are you thinking about while the bike's away?
How mean
I am. Who's the bad guy here? I am. Who made me the bad guy? I did. How did I make me the bad guy? Just because I took the bike away?
Just the way that it was phrased.
The way it was phrased was, I'm going to take your bike away. Right? Okay, so let's play this out a little bit of a different way. This is how small of a change you have to make. Tiny changes. Brad's correct. Most of the changes I suggest are tiny changes. Look at how tiny this change is. If you choose to ride your bike in the street, why do I say choose to? It's their choice. If you choose to ride your bike in the street, I'll know you've decided, which reinforces what? It's your choice if this is going to happen or not. I'll know you've decided to give up your bike. Now who's responsible for going away? They are. Until, and then here's where that reasonable comes in. If it happened before dinner, it would be just till after dinner. If it happened after dinner, till the next day. Until after dinner. If you choose to ride your bike in the street, I'll know you've decided to give up your bike or put it away until after dinner. So let's say that happens, and you say, I see you've decided to put your bike away. And the first way we'll play this out is that they go, okay. Now, I promise you, your kids aren't going to go, okay, thank you for disciplining me. I'll put that bike away right now. That ain't going to happen. But they might go, all right, because they knew, right? If you say this, I see you decided to put your bike away. All right. But we'll say for the first round that they're putting it away. The bike is away. What are they thinking about? Okay, then it was their choice. After dinner, they're going to get it back. Anybody a bad guy here?
They are.
Who, if they're angry with anybody, who are they angry with? Themselves, because they had a choice, right? Did you take it away? No, they realized who, if there is blame, and I'm a non-blame person, but if they were going to blame somebody, who'd they be blaming?
Themselves,
as opposed to you're the bad guy, you did this to me. See, the thing about if they can blame you and say you're the bad guy, then they don't have to take responsibility, right? You're the one who's doing this to me. You are so mean. Don't take it away. You guys are the bad guys. You're not being a bad guy by being a parent, by being a responsible parent. They need to accept responsibility, and we need to hold them accountable. So instead, let's say they don't. Let's say you go, I see that you've decided to put your bike away. No, don't make me put the bike away! Right, you've all had the meltdown. This is when you need to use what I call the freak out phrase. When your kids freak out, this is your phrase. Okay, your freak out phrase is, you'll have another chance after dinner to show me you can, and what do I want them to do? Ride your bike on the sidewalk. You'll have another chance, which de-escalates. Okay, I'll have another chance. Not focusing on what's going away, focusing on what's coming. As soon as, after dinner, to show me you can, and what's the last thing they hear? The behavior you want to see. So what are they thinking about? What they need to do when it's over. Okay? You'll have another chance to show me you can. Okay? So if it happens that way, then you have a freak out phrase that you can use. Right? Now, let's say you say, I see you decided to put your bike away. And they say, I don't want to put my bike away. Now, so a lot of parents do what? Well, then I'll just put it away for you, right? Now, if I just put it away for them, what have I just stepped into? What role have I stepped into? Now I get to be the bad guy again, right? But all you do is you take the language of choice and you apply it to the next step. Well, either you can put the bike away and have it back after dinner and be responsible for your own behavior, is basically what you're communicating there. Or if you choose to have me put your bike away, in parentheses, I'm being responsible for your behavior, then I know you don't really want it back until tomorrow instead. So if they are accountable for their own behavior, it's as soon as possible. They're not exempt. You don't say, oh, well, if you do it, you're off. Because they still may be held accountable. But if you make me responsible for what you're doing, then it's going to last longer. Because ultimately, who do you want to handle it? You want them to be responsible. They're baiting you to get back in the bad guy role. Because if you can get in the bad guy role, then they can be mad at you and you get the blame. So don't bite the bait. Just give them a choice. Either you can put it away and get it back after dinner. If you choose for me to put it away, I'll know you don't want it back until tomorrow. Now you notice again that slight change. I'll know that you don't want it back until. See how that sounds different? Well, fine, then I'll just put it away until tomorrow. Isn't that what most of us would say? Okay, small change, but do you see the big difference in the message that they're getting with just that little change? Okay, so to take one example all the way from prevention up through discipline, let's use the example of you've taken your four-year-old to a restaurant. We won't debate the wisdom of that choice in the first place. You've taken your child, you want to take your four-year-old to a restaurant. So from a prevention standpoint, what are some things you could do to prevent a problem if you were going to take your four-year-old to a restaurant? What are some things you could bring and do ahead of time?
Okay,
you can do a rehearsal. And what would you be rehearsing? The behavior you want to see, right? You don't say, now when we get in this restaurant, don't run around, don't yell, right? Okay, I want you to sit still, be quiet. What else would you bring?
Coloring books,
some things for them to do. Okay? Alright, so you come in and you sit down and you, what's the first choice you're going to offer the child? You can?
Choose a seat.
Okay, alright. I could choose a seat. So I picked a seat. Okay? I'm talking to everybody and getting up, trying to run around. What choices can you offer me? What's your bottom line? I need to do what? You need to sit and be, okay? And what can I do that would be sitting and be quiet? You can color or look at a menu, okay? So you presented me, you're at prevention, good job. But I'm not interested in that. I want to talk to the people over here and I want to be really loud and I'm about ready to get up. So what's the bottom line? What are you thinking now needs to happen? Okay, maybe divert his attention. Okay, so what might be a new choice? You can sit quietly and color. Somebody say scissors.
I said play rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, rock, paper, scissors. I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to have to say I don't approve of giving the kids scissors at this moment. Rock, paper, scissors. All right, we can play that. Rock, paper, scissors. Okay, all right. So, but that isn't enough. I'm getting more and more disruptive and I'm bothering everybody else. What do you think might need to happen? Might we need to take a temporary break? Okay, maybe just a walk outside. Especially kids have a hard time waiting, so this isn't like you have to give up your whole dinner and leave, right? But like maybe we just need to take a break or maybe distract them or whatever. So if I continue to fuss around, okay, you can say, you can either sit quietly and play with your fill-in-the-blank, or maybe we need to go and walk around a little bit. I don't answer anything. I just keep talking to somebody else, being really loud. What have I just decided? I think we need to go for a walk. What are my new choices? How are we going to go for the walk?
Are
you
going to walk or am I going to carry you?
Okay. Do you want to walk or am I going to carry you?
Do you want to hold my hand or God's
hand? Okay. And I don't answer either one. I just still keep doing what I'm doing. So I've just decided what?
You decided we wanted to carry.
Okay. So you reach out your hand, and I do the rag doll. Right? So now you know for sure what have I decided. So you pick me up and you carry me out. And I'm kicking and I'm screaming. And you're embarrassed again. Who makes you embarrassed, by the way?
You.
Exactly. So you're embarrassed because everybody's looking. And then you go, you know that tool shop lady, she's full of, oops, gotta keep this G-rated. Here I am, carrying this kid out, kicking and screaming. I gave this kid a bunch of choices. I saw that lady over there doing, she didn't give that kid no chances. She picked that kid up, dragged him to the bathroom, and I heard what she did in there. So why am I wasting my time giving all these stupid choices? I said what, six things? She said one. Why bother doing all these choices? Why bother? You still ended up carrying her out, kicking and screaming, right? You guys play charades? On the nose. Who made the choice to be carried out? She did.
She knows it.
And she knows it. So the next time you say, you can either sit quietly or I'll know that you've decided to leave. What does she know? Not only that she's going to leave, but then whose choice is it? It's her choice whether or not it escalates. Okay? Make sense? So, a lot of times parents will say to me, this is a lot of words. Well, first of all, I'm all about short and sweet. If anything, I think you should take time the first time to say three sentences that serve a very specific purpose, which I'm going to tell you about in just a second. Three sentences. After that, you use one word as a reminder, or you move up. You go to the next sentence. Three sentences in all. Okay? So let's get to those.